This show was broadcast live on Monday, October 26, 2015.
Now, back to some ass-kicking shiznit from NullSoft Shoutcast.
This is the show that nobody told you about. The show that your brother warned you about. This is the show that you probably shouldn't be listening to. This is
Jampa.
Oh my, that was a bad one.
No, that was a good one.
Oh, okay.
That felt good.
Oh, that's good. Hello, everyone. This is Anthony from Tampa.
And hey, everybody, it's Joe in Chicago.
Hi, it's your lovable artificial intelligence unit, Betty. My Betolio is buzzing with excitement for tonight's broadcast.
And you're listening to...
WEED Chiampa.
Episode 20. The Vacation Episodes. For Monday, October 26, 2015. And now for the weather. Anthony, how is it in Tampa for those tampons?
Well, thank you, Betty. For those tampons tonight, you should expect mostly cloudy skies with a current temperature of 82 degrees Fahrenheit, humidity at 56%, variable wind speed at 6 mile an hour, dew point 65 degrees, heat index of 84 degrees. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers before 10, mostly cloudy with a low around 72, east-southeast wind 10 to 13 miles an hour. For Tuesday, tampons can expect a 50% chance of showers, mainly after 2, mostly cloudy with a high near 85, southeast wind 9 to 13 miles an hour, new precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. And on Tuesday night, you can expect a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, cloudy with a low around 74, south, southeast wind around 7 miles an hour, new rainfall between about a tenth and a quarter of an inch. Expect higher amounts possible in thunderstorms, as we all should.
Yes.
Thanks, Anthony. And now for your Chicago weather. Take it away, Joe.
Hey, everybody. It's Joe in the Chicago studios, where it's currently 57 degrees and the skies are clear. Precipitation right now is 0%. We have a humidity level of 55% with winds at 8 miles per hour. And for Tuesday... Actually, no, for tonight, a 20% chance of showers before 10 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 72. Why do I feel like I'm reading yours? Because I am. Tonight, we can expect cloudy and dry conditions here in Chicago with around 50 to 57% humidity and light gusty winds of up to 10 miles per hour. Now, for Tuesday... We're expecting cloudy conditions with rain developing late in the day. Highs will be near 60 degrees, and the winds out of somebody's ass will be east-southeast at 15 to 25 miles per hour. It is fall, folks, and that's just what it is. And you know what? That's your Chicago weather. Now, I unfortunately, folks, don't have a poll for us tonight. And yes...
We interrupt this programming to bring breaking news from the WEED newsroom. We have nothing.
We've got nothing, folks.
Nothing. Nothing at all. That's all that you get. You get nothing.
But this is the vacations episode.
That's what you do on vacation, is nothing.
Yes.
All right. We now return you to your regularly scheduled program, already in progress.
Well, Well, there we have it. We've been talking to you about all sorts of lovely things these past 19 episodes. This is the 20th episode. Can you believe it, Anthony?
Actually, no, I can't. It's 20 episodes, and my equipment is still giving us issues. But hey, we got 20 episodes going. That's actually pretty exciting. I mean, you know, who would have thought we've made it 20, so now we only have 400 to go.
Yes. But being that it is episode 20 and we skipped a week, there's quite a few little things here and there to report, and you'll be looking forward to that this evening. If you would like to give us a call, because we know you would, give us a call at 813-327-8566. And we'll just ad-lib until the end of segment at 2000 Eastern Time, which is not correct because I'm not reading it right.
You are not reading it correct.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that is not correct. We have a maximum of 15 minutes based on your news.
Ah. And so if you've got an opinion about that or you want to hear us talk about something, give us a call. Leave us a voicemail, too. Betty will be happy to jot down your info, and she'll spit it back at us at a later date.
Or not, but something will happen more than likely. So
yeah.
Betty's kind of good with that, and she's so unpredictable that makes it kind of fun that way.
Yeah, it's like, is she on vacation? Was she on vacation? Did Betty actually get an approved vacation?
Yeah, I unplugged the rest of the power strip. She actually got charged up. That was her vacation, letting her get charged up.
Somebody's excited for Betty.
Well, you know, they say you should take pleasures in the small things in life, and Betty sure and diddly did that. She took pleasures. Exactly.
Sounds like she took some of our money, too.
Yeah, that's what she does, too, unfortunately.
So, well, before we do some news, do you want to talk about your vacation, or should I talk about my vacation?
Why don't you fill us in first on the... Now, you went to California, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I ended up going to see Madonna at the SAP Center in San Jose, California.
Oh, I see.
Yes. It was a great time. I met up with one of my dear friends that lives in Modesto, California. And he picked me up from the airport. It was kind of a later flight, but that was fine because it allowed me to work on that Sunday. Great trip out there. I had sort of a day to kill before Madonna started. So
you had to do some sightseeing and
stuff. Yeah, a little sightseeing.
Good.
Exactly. A lot of driving. Oh, and this is, you know, I forgot to report this on my own personal Facebook.
Oh.
But I went over the location where that infamous or famous or beautiful, however you want to see it, photo was taken for the Windows 95 logo.
Really?
Yes. So, but I got to see the hills when they were brown.
Well, that's quite interesting.
Right. So I guess that would be like, what, Windows Vista? But no, it was really cool. It was a lot of different sites to see, a lot of driving. Did a lot of nice little touring of this really awesome house. If you folks get a chance to go to San Jose, go check out the Winchester Mystery House.
And what is the Winchester Mystery House?
The Winchester Mystery House is a really huge Victorian house. It's basically right in the middle of the city, built back in the late 1800s, by this really eccentric lady. I believe her name was Sarah Winchester.
Okay.
And she was the wife and heiress of one of the second, I think, presidents of the Winchester Rifle Company or something like this. So, long story short, her husband died, and she went to a like an astrologer. And this astrologer told her to just get out of town, go to California, and don't stop building. You'll stay alive if you don't stop building. And so she did. Mm. She built this elaborate, crazy house. It had 160 stories. At one point before the...
Wait, 160 stories?
I'm sorry, 160 rooms.
Okay, I'm like, that's a tall building. That's yes. Pretty tall. Especially.
However, it was at one point 7 stories tall.
Wow.
Yes. So, you know, the house is full of lots of Victorian era items, but the more important aspect is her very strong belief in the spiritual and supernatural.
Okay.
She had a lot of architectural tricks. I would have considered her to be one of the pioneers of early ADA accessibility. She had these low-rise stairs everywhere.
Low-rise. Yes.
Now, she was a very short woman, too, so she had doors made for her height, which is like four and a half feet.
Wow.
Yes. So that in itself, that whole trip was quite a fun adventure, and I'm really glad we ended up checking that out. And that was like just a few hours before Madonna, so it gave us a really cool thing to do.
Cool, cool.
Now, right before Madonna, we ended up having a really fine, delicious Italian dinner. If I could remember the place, it was like Pasta Pomodoro, I believe. Yeah.
Pasta Pomodoro.
Very affordable for the area and good food. So, now the concert, amazing.
Was it? Well, that's good. So it wasn't like loaded with video montages and stuff?
Oh, yes. It was video montages. It was her dancers. It was her performance.
But she performed a lot, too. She didn't.
Oh, yeah.
Just, okay. Well, that's the important
part. Yeah. I think the video montages, they were the pyrotechnics.
Okay.
You know, if she was to have, like, fiery things, that well, the video screens. And she had a video screen, like, coming out of the stage, too. So it was, like, lifting up, and she had dancers. She really highlighted a lot of other people in her concert, not just her. So, you know, that was really neat to see, and it was, like, a packed environment. It was completely packed. And
oh, that doesn't surprise me at all.
I would say during her first, like, maybe it was her seventh song, wow, there was a strong odor of cannabis everywhere. It was amazing. Completely amazing. Now, I did not have a chance to partake in any substances like that in this
trip.
Why
not?
Well, the person that I was with, he does not smoke. And
oh, yeah, that can generally have a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, but that's fine. It was a short trip. The end of the trip was not so great. Now, my friend and I, we ended up going to a bar, Splashes, I believe it was called. Okay. Had a few drinks, you know. We're out a little bit and just having some fun. We came home, finished off our bottle of champagne we had left over.
Ooh.
And, you know, we knocked out after looking at videos and pictures and all that fun stuff.
All right.
And went to sleep. 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
The fire alarm in the hotel goes off.
Oh, Jesus. That's quite irritating.
And it was loud.
What time did you get to bed that night?
Well, in California times, it was like maybe, I don't know, 4:30 maybe.
Okay. So you didn't get my... I didn't know. You told me. I didn't know if it was going off in the middle of the night or if it was going off in the morning, but...
No, it was like at 10 a.m. So
wow.
Literally, it was at about the time that we were going to wake up anyways.
Okay.
But the fact of the matter was it was going off for 45 minutes. And, you know, when you're a little hungover, it's not pleasant, to say the least.
So how did you know there wasn't an actual fire?
Well, we called the front desk, and we advised them, and they said immediately that it was a false alarm.
Okay.
People at the... There was some kind of a fire alarm box, and it was a circuit board that they had to swap out.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Just for whatever reason. Are you drinking milk? Sorry. Yes.
No, it's fizzy water. This is ice. You're seeing the ice.
Ah, okay. So, but yeah, that... Other than that, it was a wonderful, wonderful time. It was short and sweet.
Well, that's good. Short and sweet is good. We like short and sweet.
And, the trip back was a little bumpy.
Oh, yeah. Did you have a lot of turbulence?
A lot of turbulence.
Wow.
A lot of turbulence. It was, you know, but whatever. I got through it. The Wi-Fi was working, so I was able to take advantage of looking at things and reviewing my concert and posting things. So, you know, I was able to not try to notice it so much, but there was just times when I was like...
Sometimes you can. Yeah, we had a bumpy ride to and from. It was more bumpy on our way up than it was on our way down, but yeah, we did get some bumpiness.
Yeah.
I think it only lasted for like a short portion of the flight. We had a direct flight on the way up, but we had to do a layover in Atlanta on our way back down. I'm not a fan of Atlanta's airport. I'm sorry. Any of you that are a fan of Atlanta's airport, I am not a fan of it. I apologize. If you want to tell me why you're a fan of it, you can call us at 813-327-8566 and tell us why.
Or if you want to tell us your experiences with either Southwest or United, you can give us a call too. You know, if you want to, we can compare our trips. I know there's a different kind of meal service on each of the airlines, but you know, as far as like people and seating and all that, we can talk about that when we come back from our news segment.
Yeah, I know. And so you flew United. See, I flew Southwest.
Yes.
I'm not a fan of the Catalgal at all, but it's cheap. That's how it goes. So
that's true.
That's what you got.
Did you pay for upgraded boarding?
No.
And now for the news.
You got some news for us, Joe?
I sure do. Good evening from the Chicago studios. Here's your latest top 420 news. So, there's been no shortage of news stories this week. Truth in Advertising.
Okay.
Alleged auto thief arrested in I Do Dumb Things t-shirt.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. This is by Alex Johnson from NBC News. An Oregon man is awaiting a grand jury investigation after he was arrested on auto theft charges while wearing a t-shirt reading, "Warning, I do dumb things."
Mm, nice.
So, Roshan Josiah Garrett, and I put a picture of him up in there because, I don't know, it's like a weird photo and I don't understand it. But anyways, whose last known address was in Portland, fled in a stolen car Wednesday night in the Portland suburb of Gladstone, the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office said. I thought that was interesting.
Where's this picture at? Is it in the news story? Is that where the picture is? Where was it?
Well, it's a picture of him wearing the "Warning, I Do Dumb Things" t-shirt.
Where'd you put that? Where's that at?
Well, it is in my news copy story. Oh, you know what? I apologize, folks. I didn't link the right one.
Oh.
Let's
when that
see.
Happens.
Yeah, we can take care of this really fast. I do believe. Maybe we can't. We'll see if this works.
Oh, that's fine. We don't need the picture. We can move on.
After a high-speed chase, he ditched the car and fled on foot in the High Rocks Park area, where a police dog named Nero sniffed him out hiding in a bush, it said. Garrett was charged with two counts of attempted to elude law enforcement, unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, and possession of a stolen vehicle. A grand jury will review his case, the sheriff's office said. In a photo made available by the sheriff's office, Garrett was wearing the black t-shirt, which courts records indicate was probably accurate. Oregon corrections records show that Garrett, sometimes under aliases including Bishop Demke, has a long history of arrests and at least one conviction dating to 2011 on similar vehicle charges.
Interesting.
So, but he's been wearing this t-shirt and it's like...
Oh, nice. Oh, I see it now. Oh,
it
lovely.
It must be a cry for help.
Or that's he's just stupid.
Well, yeah.
I'll take either one, to be honest with you. I mean,
yeah,
there is
no shortage of really dumb people, I guess, in this world.
No, there really isn't, and that's really the sad part about it.
And then if you can click on the Joe News Copy link in the script and let me know if that works.
Which I did that. I'm looking at it now.
Well, I just updated it, so.
$10,000 marijuana falls from sky?
No, apparently it didn't take.
Authorities say it was likely dropped from an aircraft.
If you could refresh the script.
Oh, I see. There we go. All right. Okay. So now we move to the tiny font one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
So this next story is
I turned off the thing.
Okay.
It's okay. We're all good now.
We'll be editing some of this out, folks. But anyways, how to tell if your marijuana plant is male, female, or hermaphrodite. Now, this story is not so much because of the fact that, you know, it's a story about how to tell if your what the sex is of your marijuana plant. It's the fact that it's actually in the Sun Times. That's very highly unheard of after you hear what I talk about.
All right. Well, let's go.
This is from the Sun-Times extract. It's written by Emily Gray Berbraz. Identifying and separating male and female marijuana plants is a very important aspect in cultivation.
Yes, it is.
Females produce usable marijuana. Males do not. If a female plant is pollinated, it will stop growing flowers and will start producing seeds instead. So unless you want to grow a marijuana plant that yields seeds instead of marijuana buds, you'll want to separate the males and females before the males begin pollination.
Okay.
So now the signs of a male plant. The male flowers resemble balls hanging from a slender stem. The pre-flower buds are about the same shape of a rugby ball and blunted at the end.
Hmm.
And when the male flowers begin to mature, they transition from hanging to a more erect position on their stem.
I see.
When the flowers open, they reveal 5 yellow or white petals and a central stamen that releases pollen into the breeze. And so as you would figure, the female has a pistil, which takes in that pollen. So now the next part, and again, this is, you know, if you know anything about the Sun-Times papers, folks, it's very awkward that you would see this story in their paper. So it just made you wonder what happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, they go on to say that male plants aren't good for smoking, although you can use its leaves to make potent marijuana butter if you like. Hmm. So, you know, this ultra-conservative paper is, like, publishing, like, a little how-to guide on marijuana plants. I guess that's awesome.
That's quite amazing. Yeah, yes. No, that's pretty cool. Good for them.
Yeah. So, and this is from Vox Policy and Politics, Medical Marijuana for Pets. It's real, and it's not as ridiculous as you think. So now, many veterinarians across the country are recommending marijuana for pets to help treat various ailments. One company, the California-based VetCBD...
Why am I not surprised that they're in California?
Right? Estimates it now sells medical pot to as many as thousands of patients who are, of course, pet owners. And there are other similar companies, Canna Companions and Canna Pet in Washington State, and Treatables Kitchen in California. Now, I'm going to jump down a little bit. You know what, folks? Let's get one thing out of the way. You should almost under no circumstances get your pet stoned.
I used to get my cat stoned.
I know, but, you know, it
was fun. She enjoyed it. She never had a problem with it.
Well, apparently they can suffer some bad consequences, though, including depression, seizures, vomiting, and comas.
I see.
And unlike us, these issues can last for days, since pot can take longer to work through some bigger dogs and other animals.
I wonder if that's why Taylor was always so crazy. She was a bit depressed cat, wasn't she? Anywho, please go on.
But now, however, this is not anecdotally true for my star pet. My pet star.
Your star pet?
Yes.
Interesting.
When I reach for my medicine and begin smoking it, she comes running with glinty eyes.
Uh-huh.
I don't purposely blow smoke on her, but she does seek it out. But in general, you should never abuse your animals, and doing things intentionally is abuse. So now, you know, but apparently what they do is they work with strains of pot that don't get the pets high. And that's
okay.
Good.
So what does it do to the pet then?
Well, a lot of it can help with pain.
Okay.
And specifically, it stimulates appetites.
I see.
Yes. There's a lot of benefits to it.
Maybe
you
that's
know,
why
so
she was also so fat, too.
What were you feeding them? Circle K dog treats?
No, I was just feeding her generic, regular cat food.
Why did I say dog treats? Cat treats.
Nah, Taylor would eat anything. She liked barbecue the most.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You bring barbecue in the house, she went crazy.
You know, I had a friend that had a hamster named Barbecue, and I thought that was very peculiar.
A hamster, and it did one day, the hamster disappeared, and you get little shish kebabs at dinner?
Yes.
No shit. Well,
no shish kebabs. The hamster did disappear. But he also had 3 cats, so who knows?
And was a dinner party, a small dinner party in the very shortly thereafter the hamster disappeared?
That we don't know. That may have happened, I'm sure, with 3 cats and a hamster named Barbecue. You put the pieces together.
So the cats liked barbecue.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens sometimes.
You know, yeah.
You can't get away from that. Cats will be cats.
Right. So now, this next story has absolutely zero zilch to do with marijuana at all. This has to do with expensive people and their scams.
I see.
A homeless man was deeded 6 dilapidated properties in a scam.
Okay.
So basically, this guy, and I apologize, I think his name was Abrana Tab. He's a homeless man. He's sitting out around over on LaSalle Street in front of this property firm called Z Financial Illinois G Properties LLC.
Ooh, wow, that's fancy.
He is. But apparently, in order to avoid having to either pay a fine, fix or restore the properties, or pay another fine to the city to have them remove the properties, they basically transferred these properties to this homeless guy.
Interesting.
Well, apparently it's legal. Is it ethical?
Did the homeless guy sign anything?
Well, yeah.
That's kind of the question. You can't do a transfer of property without both parties signing it.
Right, but, you know, the guy said, hey, I want to dump a couple houses on you. Don't worry about it. You're not going to get in trouble. Just sign here. So apparently, though, the homeless dude, Tab, expressed a desire to acquire one of these homes and restore it.
And I bet you the property company is not happy about that.
Mm-mm. No, they are not.
Wow.
So, let's see. This is quite a long story, folks. I apologize.
Oh my goodness. Yes, it is. Well, you got about 3.5 minutes left till we got to go to break.
Mm.
So, I mean, you can fill some of it.
So
let me get this right. So they offered to sell him the property. They gave them to him because obviously he didn't have any money. He's homeless. So they gave him these properties that were abandoned. Were they just dumping them to get rid of them, or were they planning on getting them back and then turning them around for a profit?
Well, it seems like they were going to try and turn it around back for profits.
Okay.
You know, but basically they were kind of caught. And it seems like somehow the way the contracts were written up, they were able to take him back due to tax evasion because he wasn't paying anything on it.
Of course, yeah, definitely. He was homeless. He couldn't pay property taxes on it. And what, a vacant lot in Chicago now goes for like, what, $11,000, something like that?
Yeah. You know, so it's like people, you know, you got to be careful. But if you're homeless, it's like people can just apparently use and abuse you.
Well, yeah. And then that's the other question is, you know, when you look at the homeless population, a lot of the homeless population either have some type of mental issue or some type of disorder that quite, you know, they don't quite get what's going on and they become targets for this type of thing.
And, you know, it's like he did it because he needed the money.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had basically befriended somebody that worked there, and that's how this all came about. Pretty sad, though, man. But apparently the city is going to try and recoup the costs for all of the problems with the property.
Okay.
And they have obtained a personal judgment of $11,503 against Z Financial Illinois Properties for the cost of raising a building on Eggleston Avenue.
All right.
But it's only one building, and it was like 6 of them. And you could just imagine how many other properties are like this on the south side.
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of them. Plenty of them.
You know, wow. It's just like, what are these people thinking of? But anyways, Anthony, there you have it. Your latest Cheyenne news. And now back to you.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. That was kind of unexpected, but yet expected all at the same time. All right, so do you want to be part of our unique on-air experience? And our experience on-air is definitely something that is absolutely unique, if you haven't found out by now, if you're actually still listening to us. Give us a call at 813-327-8566.
You know, be sure to check out our blog, too. Go to, just go to Cheyampa.info.
Yep, www.cheyampa.info or just Cheyampa.info. That will take you there. We'll dump you right into the blog. If you want to take a look at us, you can look us up on Facebook. We're at Cheyampa, I believe, or I think it's Cheyampa Weed Radio. Or you can go to facebook.cheyampa.info. That's what I do, too. That will take you right to our Facebook page. You can see what we put up there. Sometimes we'll put our news stories up there that we're talking about. Sometimes we'll just throw randomness of things out there. So anyway, so if you're listening to us on a recast, feel free to give us a call anyway, or leave us a voicemail, send us a message. I believe we should hopefully have the thingamajiggy to do the Skype thing soon. But anywho, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to take care of some business here, and stay tuned. We have Joe's retro merch flashback during the break, and we'll be back in about 8.5 minutes.
Sweet.
You are listening to WEED. Cheyampa.
You're listening to Shoutcast Radio.
The View from Planet Nancy.
Hello, I'm Nancy Casey. They say that when you travel, you learn about yourself. But it wasn't until after I came home from my first trip to Haiti that I discovered what a complainer I am. When you meet new people and spend a lot of time together, it's pretty normal, I think, for the relationship to continue in your mind after you separate. If, as in my case, knowing these people meant that you had to learn a new language, the habit of putting together sentences to report your experience in that language doesn't turn itself off all at once. So in the culture shock weeks following my return, stories to tell my faraway friends would formulate themselves in my mind, little amusing tales that grew from my scattered, overfull days, little amusing tales which, even as I thought them up, I knew I would never tell. A tale maybe about how I was halfway through getting the snow tires off the car when I remembered I was supposed to take the kids to the dentist. Or perhaps the way I had to bulldoze a space for myself at the kitchen table, buried as it was in the remnants of kid snacks, homework, and art projects. Or the story of how the friend who was supposed to help me get a truckload of manure showed up drunk and it took hours. My Haitian friends might have enjoyed the stories, but they would have struggled to see the frustration or the humor. You have your own car? You go to the dentist when you don't have a toothache? Your kids snack all day? You have a big table in your kitchen? A friend with a truck? Wow. No matter how much I suffered, I just couldn't come up with a problem that would be much of a problem when I told my Haitian friends about it. A few months after I returned from that first trip to Haiti, my house burned down. But the tool shed didn't. And in that shed were more tools than I had seen in the entire village during my month-long visit. A Haitian who had nothing but that shed full of tools would have been a mogul and could live in it in a pinch. Complaining is a habit, and if I was going to complain about it, I'd call it boring. Yet we even manage to do it cheerfully, as when we say hello and add a little unsolicited grumble about the weather, a co-worker, or the Idaho legislature. It's as though we set a percentage in our head for the amount of experience that's to be rendered as negative, and conjure the misery required to fill the quota. One of the reasons we do this, I think, is that we live with a non-specific sense that the world is messed up in ways that we choose, consciously or unconsciously, not to examine very much. The malaise makes its way to the surface and causes us to formulate our easy lives as riddled with hardship and trouble. There's a lot in the world we can't control, but we are the ones who set the meter in our head that says how much space the complaining habit will get in our lives. If the space is small, a lot less of our experience requires a negative spin. Nobody gets a life free of tragedy and disappointment, but did you ever notice that when something genuinely terrible happens and you truly suffer, you're too busy dealing with it to complain? That's The View from Planet Nancy. Thank you for listening. I'll see you in orbit.
Transcripts of this and other editions of The View from Planet Nancy are available at authornancycasey.com, where you can also sign up for a podcast and leave your comments. The View from Planet Nancy is produced with help from Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho, and at krfp.org. Music by Kevin MacLeod.
Hello, everybody. This is Joe, your host on WEED Cheyenne Radio. Do you miss those commercials that we used to broadcast? You know, some of those retro commercials for Alka-Seltzer, and Kent Cigarettes, and Philip Morris? Well, tonight, in Joe's retro commercials, we bring them to you here on WEED Cheyenne Radio. Flashback.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Floors, doors, walls, halls, white sidewall tires and old golf balls.
Sinks, stoves, bathtubs he'll do. He'll even help clean laundry too.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Can he clean a kitchen sink?
Quicker than a wink.
Can he clean a window sash?
Faster than a flash.
Can he clean a dirty mirror?
He'll make it bright and clearer.
Can he clean a diamond ring?
Mr. Clean cleans anything.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Captain O.G. Readmore here. If they send a mouse to outer space where Hawaii's getting snow, if a Martian lands on Thompson Street, you'll be the first to know. If you read the daily papers and your favorite magazine, you'll be out in front and in the know on all the latest scenes. You can tell your friends, you heard it first, and you'll hold the latest news. So read the paper and some magazines, because reading is what's news.
You've got somewhere to go, catch a fare that's low, catch a money saver going on Greyhound.
Catch a money saver anywhere Greyhound goes for just $7 to $59 one way. $7 to $59. Some restrictions apply, so call or stop by for details.
Catch a money saver going on Greyhound.
Go Greyhound and leave the driving to us.
You can take Salem out of the country, but you can't take the country out of Salem. You can take Salem out of the country, but you can't take the country out of Salem. But you can't take the country out of Salem. You can take Salem out of the country, but...
Hello, Rumpelstiltskin Wisdom here. A friend of mine recently posted to his Facebook that he was tired of being the matchmaker and now it's our turn. I think playing matchmaker is deadly. It's like the plague. Once you make one wrong match, your friends are scared from you for life. That's why you shouldn't get your friends together. Just saying. But don't tell Betty, she might get mad at me. And we wouldn't want that.
Well, thank you, Rumpelstiltskin Wisdom. This has been another Joe Wisdom on matchmaking. Share your wisdom by giving us a call at 813-327-8566, and we'll play it on a future broadcast.
Now, back to some ass-kicking shiznat from Null Soft Shoutcast.
Hey. Uh-huh. Welcome back, everybody. It's Joe and Anthony.
Hey, Anthony. It's Anthony and Joe.
Yeah. How's it going? What a load of news tonight, huh?
I know. Tell me about it. That's just all a bunch of crazy crap. Especially the selling the things to the homeless man.
Yeah.
You know, the things people will do.
All I can say is check your credit reports and check yourself out once in a while. You never know what something happens.
Oh, my credit's terrible. I don't have to worry. I can't even finance my own house.
You know what? I'm happy to report that no one can really ID theft me because there would be no point.
that's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, shit, dude, nobody's going to be able to get a credit card or a car loan in my shit. Mm-mm. I'm just trying to barely get this refinance through, and I'm like, that's not going to happen. Well, I think it's going to happen, but it's taking a lot of hoops. So they're not going to be able to steal anything else from me, so it's kind of pointless. I'm not one of the ones with that good credit score, that shiny credit score.
Yeah. And you know, at this point, I don't really care. I'm paying my debts, and that's that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm working. We're working it. Working it every day.
Exactly. Hey, so, you know, I had a vacation, but you also had a nice long vacation.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yeah. Yes, I did. So, arrived in Chicago on Friday, spent some time up with the folks in northwest suburbs out by Elgin. We had a car over the weekend, did some traveling into northwest Indiana, and then, which was beautiful because the leaves out there were starting to change. It was absolutely beautiful. I came back into the city on Monday and, oh goodness, did a lot of the scenic tour, kind of walking around type of thing. But yeah, the food was definite. Chinatown was on the list. I wanted to go to Wan Khao. Because I've always gone to Wan Khao, and I've always enjoyed Wan Khao, but for some reason, my dining partner was not all, because we were meeting up with another couple, and they weren't all about Wan Khao, so I picked another restaurant, and it was okay. The name escapes me.
Wasn't Wan Khao the restaurant that got in trouble?
I don't know. Did they get in trouble?
Yeah, there was an FBI raid in there somewhere.
Oh, was it now?
Mm-hmm.
An FBI raid?
Mm-hmm.
See, I knew I was eating at an exciting place. They're still in business. They're still around. They were still there. We walked past them when we were going through Chinatown.
Were you in the new square or were you in the older portion of Chinatown?
Older. Wentworth. Yeah, I always go down Wentworth.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's some, like, cool little candy shops and other little things along the square. But, no, there's plenty of things on Wentworth side of things, too. So where did you end up?
We ended up at Emperor's Choice, I believe it was. Or okay. Emperor's Favorite or Emperor's Happy Chicken or Emperor's something. it was a nice restaurant. The inside of the restaurant was nice. Well decorated, well lit. It didn't seem like a dirty Chinese restaurant, which is probably where I should have walked out. I'm sorry. The holes in the walls are generally the best places to eat.
That's true.
That has always been my understanding with things. So, but we had dinner there, and as I said, it was okay. I had some Italian beef over the weekend.
Italian beef.
Had some of that over the weekend. We had to do two hot dog excursions because the first hot dog excursion in Lincoln Square did not pan out so well.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was okay, but... No, exactly. Exactly. So it was okay, but the condiments, that they put way too many, too much of the relish, too much of the onions, too much of this, too much of that. So it was just, it was overload. It was way too messy to eat.
Super soggy experience.
Yeah, it really, it was. It did come down to a super soggy experience, and it really wasn't that enjoyable. So, you know, we actually wound up picking up hot dogs from Gold Coast Dogs in the terminal at the airport, and they were much better.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that.
Really?
I ended up having Billy Goat at the O'Hare terminal on my flight out, and those are damn good Polishes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. I didn't get a Polish. I need to get a Polish next time I'm in town.
Yeah, for some reason, it's like I've been leaning towards Polishes, but go on.
No, I agree, because I haven't had a good Polish in a while. I need to get a breaded steak, too. I haven't had a breaded steak. I meant to get one when I was there, but I didn't.
Some other food extravaganzas that you partake in?
Well, we did a fine dining Mexican restaurant.
Ah.
I cannot remember the name of it, and I cannot remember how to spell it.
Where was it located?
It was north of downtown. It was north of downtown. I'm trying to think of where Dave took us there, so I can't remember exactly where I was going. But it was pretty good. I got this enchilada mole thing.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it was actually 7 different moles. There was like an almond mole, which tasted like peanut butter. there was the standard chocolate mole. They had a pumpkin mole. They had a mole rojo. They had a mole verde. And they may have had something else. I can't remember.
So the standard was red mole.
I'm sorry? Yes, the standard was the red. Yeah. Well, the chocolate. The chocolate, the black mole.
Yes.
But then they also had the red mole.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was pretty good. Originally, it was going to just be a taco joint after. This was the night of the John Hancock. Went to Signature Lounge, which we kind of got a crappy table. But he was able to get up, and I was able to get up and get some good views and some good pictures and stuff. So it worked out quite nicely. Had a few cocktails. Yeah, they were expensive. But it wasn't bad. The view was good, and it was enjoyable. And then it was just going to be just tacos. We were going to just find a taqueria and get tacos and beer. And that seemed to be difficult to find around Hancock. And that's when we kind of branched out.
Oh, no. There's no tacos and beer at the...
No, because I think we found a taqueria. Well, the thing is we all didn't want beer. Some of the party wanted mixed drinks. And so it was kind of like there was one taqueria down the street on Chicago, down the street from Hancock, but they only had beer. So then that's kind of like when we kind of branched out and found this fine dining Mexican restaurant, which was absolutely delicious.
And so you also had experience at Orange. That was on Friday.
Yes, yes, yes. That was also very nice. Let's see. We had the frushi, which was absolutely delicious.
Good.
Oh, yep. And we also had the what type of French toast? Was it almond? No,
that was the orange rosemary French toast.
The orange rose. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, it did have almonds. Okay, so I knew the almonds were there from somewhere. Yes, the orange rosemary French toast, which was very delicious. I had one of the omelets.
I think you had the omelet number 5.
Maybe it had spinach in it.
Yes, spinach and chicken apple sausage.
Yes, that was it. Okay, yeah, the chicken apples. That was also delicious. And then the other half had a Reuben.
Yes,
he had a Reuben, and he liked the Reuben as well. So everything was quite tasty. That was very good. Also made our way to the Beef and Brandy downtown.
Ah, yes. Isn't that a fun place?
Always got to make it. He loved it. He's like, oh, my God, this is so awesome. I'm like, yeah, these are their typical Greek restaurants.
Yes.
They're all over the city.
And luckily, they are still all over the city.
They are, because I know the Melrose is still there, Nookie's is still there, Beef and Brandy is still there. All the good staples are still there, which makes me very happy to see that they're still there. And they were busy. The Beef and Brandy was, we went right at the tail end of lunch, and they were busy. They were really busy. So they're still doing good business, and that's important.
Now, just for historical reference, and next time, right around the corner, there is another restaurant, and it's a bar, and it's awesome. It's really good comfort food.
Oh, really? What's the name of that one?
You know, it just escapes me at the moment, but we'll get back to you on that one.
Oh, okay. All right.
But yeah, it's also a nice little amazing. It's a little more upscale diner food, but it's really fun.
Oh, nice.
Fun. You know, and especially these are older places too. You know, it's important because sometimes the older places have. It's not just about the food, although the food can be just as tasty, but it's about the experience. Ah, it's Miller's Pub.
Oh, okay. I think I saw that. We didn't eat there, but I saw that.
Believe it or not, I believe I had one of the most expensive entrees there. It was like $26 a plate.
Okay.
And it was really good.
Very nice, very nice.
But so what else went on during your vacation? How was your hotel?
The hotel was nice. It wasn't quite what I think we had been expecting, but it was clean. It was safe, and nobody charges for smoking weed in the room. So I guess we're all good. Everything worked. I mean, it was a comfortable bed. It was a nice room. It probably could have been decorated a little bit better. It really, I mean, there were just some parts of it that were just kind of bare, and it just kind of felt a little empty-ish. So we could use a little decoration. And then it really needed, the heat was an issue, because Monday or Tuesday morning, it was freaking cold.
It was cold.
It was cold. Yes. And there was no heat in the room. We found out that one unit in the bedroom actually had a heater function on it, which was great, but there was no heat in the front because it was like a two-room suite. There was no heat in the other, in the front room. So they wound up bringing up like a portable space heater for us to kind of, you know, do that with. And so, yeah, but it was, I mean, it was a nice hotel. It was cute. It was quaint. And, you know, and sightseeing, a lot of time was spent walking around downtown. Taking pictures. A lot of pictures were taken. A lot of time was spent, you know, on the train. I said, went to Lincoln Square, went to Chinatown, spent a lot of time downtown, went up to the Sears Tower and did the ledge. I could not go on the ledge. I looked over the end and I was done. That was it. It was enough for me. Wow. Let's see. Cocktails at Hancock, did the Pedway. Yeah, we did a lot. We walked around Lakeview, Lincoln Square. We walked around Lincoln Square. So there was a lot. There was a lot that was going on in a few days we were there.
When we come back from our next news break, I definitely want to hear even more about your vacation, especially like the things that you kind of noticed about the architecture in the neighborhoods, because it sounded like you had some pretty interesting things to observe.
Oh, yeah.
But in the meantime, I heard you had some crazy news.
Yes, I do. All right. Let's start. It's the Florida News Time. Hold on, let me get to the database. We've got to access the database.
Accessing the database. Please wait. Oops. Wrong button. The database has now been properly accessed.
This comes from the Tampa Bay Times. After I take a drink.
I'll tell you, advertising these days on these websites is just insanity.
It is. All right. So do you remember one of the responses in our last poll about people being scared of other cars?
Yes.
All right. Well, guess what? I found 48-year-old Donald Coma, who appears to be one of those people, and decided to take action to defend himself last Saturday.
Interesting. What was he defending himself from?
Well, stay tuned, and we'll tell you. Officers saw white chemical residue in the apartment complex parking lot where two cars were covered in the foam after responding to a witness complaint. When officers questioned Donald Coma of Largo, he told police that he sprayed the fire extinguishers at the cars in self-defense.
At the cars?
Yep.
Were they on fire?
No. The extinguishers were taken from public storage units outside of Donald's apartment building, and a witness told Largo officers that Donald used the extinguishers without the presence of a fire nor a justifiable reason.
Oh.
He was afraid of the cars. So anyway, yeah. So
it actually came true. I'm back.
Yeah, no. He was in self defense. So, according to the police report, when asked who was going to be responsible for the apartments should they catch on fire, or who was going to pay to refill the extinguishers, Donald used a variety of vulgar language and said he only cared about himself.
I only care about myself.
Donald was arrested on a charge of obstructing or preventing the extinguishment of a fire.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Kind of messed up.
It's kind of weird.
He was just dwinking to himself, and he thought the cars were on fire.
I guess so. Or he was defending himself against the cars that he was scared of. Remember, we had people in the last poll that are scared of other cars. Could be it.
Only in Florida. But, yeah, this next one is interesting.
Yep, it sure is. This comes from the Daytona Beach News Journal. sometimes it's difficult trying to fence a stolen car. There's titles, registration, bills of sale, and all kinds of messy paperwork that can really muck up the process of selling a stolen vehicle. Well, Florida has yet again produced another ingenious businessman, because you remember the one that was doing the fake job interviews?
Yes.
We now have another one by the name of Devin Holt Thayer, who figured that the best person to sell a stolen car to is the owner of the stolen car themselves.
Of course.
Yes, they already own the car, right? So there's no need to stand in line at the DMV with all that pesky paperwork.
He found the car and he just wanted to return it. Hey, where's the reward?
Yeah, right. Yep. So Devin, 20, of Daytona Beach, contacted car owner Walter Potts to inform him that he knew the location of Walter's recently stolen car. Walter was told to meet at the local Save-A-Lot with $150 and that someone would bring him his car keys. Officers accompanied Walter, keeping an eye on the transaction from an unmarked vehicle. When Devin arrived at the Save-A-Lot, he showed the keys and asked for the money, which prompted officers to approach the pair. When Devin noticed officers, he ran away, heading east towards the parking lot of an O'Reilly's Auto Parts. He tried to hide inside, but alas, he was found in an aisle. When Devin was questioned, he told police he had hid the keys and that he was paid $10 to give the keys to Walter. Devin was charged with felony dealing in stolen property and felony grand theft, along with a misdemeanor resisting officers without violence. Walter wants to press charges, police said. Devin was being held Monday at Volusia County Branch Jail on $2,500 bail.
Why don't criminals realize that the reward to payout is just totally all messed up in this situation?
And the only way it's going to work is if you do it big. You got to go big. If you don't go big, you don't go at all. $10. Exactly. $10. All right. Now we go to the Orlando Sentinel. Orlando always has some good ones for us. When you're the creator and own the world, you may want to find a better apparatus to hide yourself in besides a bush. Exactly. Well, on patrol, a deputy noticed Alan Ramsey, 61, hiding in a bush on the north side of State Road 40 in Astor. Oh, it gets better. The deputy sheriff said Ramsey was watching a worker at the Kangaroo Express pick up garbage outside of the store. So the deputy asked Ramsey to come out of the bushes. Ramsey tried to hide himself better. So you're in a bush, and they found you. I'm just going to move this branch over here and hide myself a little bit better, and maybe you'll think I ran away.
Whoosh, I'm invisible.
Whoosh, I'm invisible, yeah. So Ramsey tried to hide himself better, but finally came out of the bush. The officer asked Ramsey what he was doing, and he said, "I am the creator, and it is none of your business." When asked who he was, Ramsey replied, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. Look it up." And that's actually a verse from Revelations 22:13. Ramsey tried to hide in the bushes again because, you know, we wouldn't know to look for you there anymore. The bushes, this magical disappearing bush, and kept responding to deputies' requests with his name, with "look it up." After being taken to custody, Ramsey continued to mumble that he was the creator and that he owned the world. Due to his behavior and refusal to identify himself, deputies say Ramsey was arrested and charged with loitering and prowling.
You know, the real creator obviously wouldn't allow himself to get caught unless he's conducting some kind of scientific research study, which, you know, that's possible. Who knows?
It could be. It could be. That is possible. All right.
Folks, I don't really believe that. I'm just being comedic. Give me a break. Come on. Okay, fine. And fine. I know I'm not funny. Go on.
Sorry. No, you're funny. If you weren't funny, you wouldn't be on the show. All right. So this next story comes from WMBB News Channel 13. News Channel 13. WMBB News for you. Channel 13. WMBB. All right. It is time to. You know what? I don't know why I sucked this track. I liked this track at first, but honestly, I really don't think it fits. So let me find a different cart here. Hold on. Flora, that's where I keep them all. All right.
Hello,
There we go. That's more appropriate. All right.
You know, I'm just going to make this statement outright. It seems like buses, school buses in particular in Florida, just have the worst luck. Go on.
They do. All right, folks. It's time to keep up on this one. This one is about meth, a golf cart, and a school bus. You can't get any more Florida than this. Calhoun, and in Calhoun County. All right. Calhoun County, a school bus, a golf cart, and meth. All right, so Calhoun County deputies first received a call about a man busting out a window with a shovel. Meet Derek Skipper, 28. Derek was breaking windows So Derek was breaking windows for whatever reason other than he was on meth and was probably looking for more meth or money or purple unicorns with hand-painted baby blue Royal Dalton periwinkles. No one really knows. Anyway, after he was discovered breaking a window with a shovel, he made his getaway in a golf cart. Golf carts are great for when you're playing golf or going to local VFW for bingo night. But when you're on the hunt for some lime green unicorns with machine-printed chartreuse Royal Dalton periwinkles, you're going to need something bigger and faster to store all that lavender Royal Dalton flying unicorn goodness. I had rehearsed that one for a while. So, while touring Calhoun County in his golf cart, Derek found something even better to use during his one-man meth-fueled soiree of flying unicorns and purple periwinkle parchment paper. Calhoun County Sheriff's deputies say Derek got on a Gulf County school bus parked at the driver's home near Kinnard in Calhoun County, located the well-hidden keys, and took off, eventually crashing the bus into a tree about 4 miles into the woods. Yes, that is correct. 4 miles into the woods, destroying everything in its path. Usually, a big yellow school bus is pretty hard to miss, but when it's crashed 4 miles into dense woods in Calhoun County, it's not easy to spot. Are we noticing a pattern with Calhoun County? Everyone recognizes a school bus, so you can't hide it. Of course, he did a pretty good job that day, said Sheriff Glenn Kimbrell of Calhoun County, Florida. Calhoun County Sheriff deputies searched nearly all morning on Sunday for a stolen Gulf County school bus and the man that stole it.
I feel bad for these school buses, though.
I know, right? They get driven into the water, they run off the road, they go here, they go there, they go everywhere. It's like the magic yellow school bus.
Deep into the woods.
This one was 4 miles deep into the woods. How he managed to get that bus 4 miles into the woods before crashing into a tree is totally beyond me. Purple periwinkle Royal Dalton unicorns. That's all I can say. All right.
We'll have a logo of these unicorns in about a couple months.
We'll have to. All right. So they searched all morning on Sunday. So the Jackson County Sheriff's Office came in to help with the search. They had a helicopter. We knew we had a big task ahead of us, so we called the Jackson County Sheriff's Office and asked them to fly their helicopter on down. They went up, and in probably 15 minutes, they had the school bus located, said Kimbrell. A few hours after finding the big yellow bus, deputies spotted Derek on the edge of Highway 392. You know, you kind of wonder, what would drive a person to take a school bus, said Kimbrell. Derek was arrested this afternoon on 4 charges, including grand theft, possession of methamphetamine. The school bus will cost approximately $100,000 to replace.
And the original one was only worth $10,000. So just, you know, that's a big hit to a county that might be a little bit poor. And that's sad. That's totally sad.
That is totally absolutely.
Well, I hope the school bus can be recovered. I mean, it looks like the front was damaged.
Well, I think that I think the thing with it is they can't repair it, though. It's too badly damaged. The frame was all bent, and they said the court in the story they said that it was going to cost more to repair it than just buy a new one. Well, it should have insurance, though.
Well, you'd hope.
Well, that's true. It is Calhoun County.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, that's pretty much it for this evening's crazy news.
What a freaking dumbass world we live in, right, Anthony?
Thank cannabis you are tuned into.
W-E-E-D, Chiampa.
Do you want to be a part of our unique on-air experience? Give us a call at 813-327-8566 or visit us at facebook.chiampa.info. If you are listening to us on a recast, feel free to leave us a voicemail and we will play your message in a future cast. And now, back to you, Anthony.
Thanks, Betty. Hang tight, folks. We need to take care of some business around here, and then we'll be back with you for the final stretch at, looks like 20 till. So we'll be back in just a few moments.
You're listening to Chiampa Weed Radio, Chicago, Tampa, Chiampa Radio. You're listening to Chiampa Weed Radio, Chicago, Tampa, Chiampa Radio.
If you walk out the door and you're a lady and you've got on one flat and one pump, consider yourself lucky. Another Wisdom by Joe Wisdom. Do you have wisdom to share? Give us a jingle at 813-327-8566. Share your jingle with us on the voicemail. We hope to hear from you soon.
Radio Free Internet. Sponsored by Nullsoft Shoutcast.
You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether. Headlines.
This is Tom Rowe with the radio news about radio waves. James Reed in the Boston Globe reports that efforts have revived to make Roadrunner by the Modern Lovers the official rock song of Massachusetts. In January, a similar bill could not get a floor vote, but last week there was a public hearing about the new bill. Quote, the song really is a love letter to Massachusetts about driving around the state late at night with the radio on. It's just perfect, unquote, said State Senator Robert Hedlund. Last time, Representatives Josh Cutler and James Cantwell countered with a bill that would have made Aerosmith's Dream On the state rock song. So far this time, there is no announced opposition. Comedian John Hodgman submitted his opinion to the hearing. Quote, the song says, I'm in love with Massachusetts. What more testimony need be heard? Unquote. This is Tom Rowe reporting for Wave Farm Radio and WGXC.
What happens when you give two stoners their own internet radio show?
I love it when I do that.
Yeah, it's a good effect for you.
I hate it when I do that.
Live Saturday night, 6 p.m. Central.
Certs knows that everyone has their own way of expressing themselves. Here's Jacques Duwaiter.
For you, madame, I recommend a grilled salmon. Its delicate pink skin is as radiant as your rosy complexion. And for you, sir, I recommend the shrimp.
Whatever your style of self-expression, Certs will help you get your point across. Because however you say it, fresh breath makes a statement, and Certs is the taste everyone can agree on.
Fresh breath speaks for itself.
The world looks mighty good to me. Cause Tootsie Rolls are all I see. Whatever it is I think I see becomes a Tootsie Roll to me. Tootsie Roll, how I rock your chocolatey-choo. Tootsie Roll, I think I'm in love with you. Whatever it is I think I see becomes a Tootsie Roll to me.
Ooh. Ooh. Reggie Wisdom. Oof. Reggie, man, he come by every once in a while to say hey to Joe Wisdom. But Reggie Wisdom, he wants you to remember. Clean your pipe once in a while. You've been listening to another Joe Wisdom. Do you have a wisdom or a long-lost relative you want found? Give us a call at 813-327-8566, and we'll get Betty to do her best.
Now, back to some ass-kicking shiznit from Null Soft Shoutcast.
Chicago studios and the Tampa studios. That's where we get Chiampa, by the way. Chicago, Tampa, Chiampa. In case you guys were wondering, I mean, who knows? People may have been like, what is Chiampa?
I don't know. That's a good question. What is Chiampa, Joe?
It's Chicago, Tampa radio.
There you go. It's friggin' awesome.
You know, because you are listening to
WEED Chiampa.
Yes. So, you know what? Me and Anthony were talking before the break a little bit about Netflix and what we like to listen to or watch. And there's two shows that I started watching. And needless to say, one of them I finished in one day. It was, to me, it was that good.
Which show was that?
It was Ascension.
Hmm.
It has the BSG crazy lady in Baltar's head. She's one of the stars in this TV show, and it's a really interesting concept. It's sci-fi.
Okay.
It's about this conspiracy theory project that the government developed in the 1960s to try to see how people would react if they were on a ship for 50 years or longer. They were supposed to be going to this destination to save the human race. And so they were cut off from everything. They were put on this ship, given the complete illusion that they are flying in space, including radiation disasters,
wow,
ion storms, all the good stuff.
That's,
and so inside this ship, they developed their own little culture and society. And it was really creepy because as the series progressed, and they did it very quickly, they tied everything up very quickly.
Was that kind of like a Babylon 5 spinoff or same threat? Or no, not at all. Okay. All right.
It's its own little story about, you know, how they tricked these people into thinking that they were on a spaceship going far, far away, and they were literally still on Earth.
Ooh.
Right, and controlled by the TC, this corporation.
Ooh.
Yeah, the technology was kind of crazy too. They developed and advanced their technology, but everything still had the 1960s feel, including the way they dressed, some of the computer terminals and the monitors.
Hmm.
Meanwhile, in the real world, everything had advanced with touch screens and all of that. But I won't give it away towards the end, but I will just say that
there
were things discovered. No, they did not.
Okay. Did they let them out?
No, they did not. But they were on their way to discovering that they were still on Earth. But apparently, there may be a twist if they make any more. See, this show, it got really good ratings, but it never got picked up to another season.
So there's only one season?
There's only one season.
Oh. That's a shame.
Now, the next show that I watched was called Bloodline, and I only watched one episode, the very first episode, and I don't even think I could get through it because it was too intense.
Mm.
It's a family drama, and it, I don't know, it's just like all kinds of secrets and dark dealings, and, you know, everybody was a little bit of a black sheep in the family, but I didn't quite get what was the point. Was it to tell us that families are messed up? We know this already.
I was going to say, that's not anything new for any of us. We all know families are messed up.
You know, some of our families may just be a little bit more messed up in certain other ways than others. We get that, too.
True, very true.
You know? So I could see some people getting into this, but for me, it was a yawner, and it was just too much. And it was just like, I don't want to invest that kind of energy into that show.
No, I totally understand that.
You know, that's why Ascension wins.
Okay.
Netflix viewer.
Cool.
How about you? Have you been catching anything on Netflix since you've, you know, before you went on vacation or since you've come back?
We've been watching Breaking Bad.
Okay.
We started it from the beginning. He had seen some of it. I haven't seen any of it, so I've been getting back into that. I've been kind of filling out the rest of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I was watching it for a while, and then I kind of stopped because other things were going on, and then I haven't picked it back up, so I'm kind of picking it back up. I also enjoyed Deal of the Century last night, or no, Sale of the Century last night on the Game Show Network. It was very 80s. It was very bad. It was very good.
It was very twerky kind of sounding music.
Oh, yeah, totally. It was totally synthesized, and they were doing this whole, trying to do this whole, you know, futuristic look with, like, big lights. And this, of course, being the 80s, so, you know, you had the big square lights, and then they had let me see if I can find a picture. I'll post it. I'll post it on our Facebook page, and you can take a look at it.
You sick to how this show sounds?
Hold on, I can. You know what? I will do that. Let me go.
Google search.
You
haven't done a Google search in a while.
I haven't. I have not. That is true. All right. I just want the intro. And I get a whole bunch of useless things. Here we go. Hold on. All right.
So far, Alan Servetnik has won cash and prizes totaling $34,686. Contestants can win a large screen TV,
yep.
A pool table, gold watch,
you are gold
or
watch.
A trip to Jamaica,
ooh.
And continue a journey towards a fortune in cash prizes, including this luxurious Jeep.
Without his voice, we're out of the effects.
In total, what about his voice?
Did they dance to this music at a disco?
God, I hope not. If they did, I'm very frightened.
Now, was it this show that you were watching?
Yeah, it was this show that I was watching. I was watching that one, too, at one time in point. That's Card Sharks, isn't it?
No, this is something called Double Dare.
Oh, Double Dare. Yeah, I was watching that last night, too. That came on. I think that came on before Sale of the Century.
It's quite a... It builds you up.
It does. It really does.
It's a long theme song.
It's a very long theme song. Wasn't this... I think this was hosted by Alec Trebek.
I believe so.
Yeah, it was.
And it's G-rated, so there is no...
Yeah, it was from the 80s.
Yeah.
It was a game show.
So what are today's game shows? They have what? Wheel of Fortune?
We still have Wheel of Fortune. There's still Jeopardy out there. That still exists. I don't know if they're still running the millionaire thing or not. It seems like most of... See, and that's the thing. I don't watch much more TV anymore because I think the game shows kind of gave way to reality shows for a while. Reality TV shows became the game show.
I know people that still watch Big Brother. And as a matter of fact, if you're a Big Brother fan, you can give us a call. You can reach us at 813-327-8566. You know, be on air with us, discuss all these fun things that we're discussing. If you've had a vacation recently and you want to give us a little quick synopsis, we'd be happy to hear you.
Something like that. You know, I usually put on the Game Show Network at night when there's no one around. It's just kind of background. You know, just get high to it. And,
yeah. You know. Something to just relax and take your mind off of the crazy world. Because, you know, it's not enough that people steal school buses.
Oh, yeah. And run them 4 miles into the freaking forest of God. I mean, really? 4 miles into the forest with a freaking school bus?
Now, here in Chicago, I don't know if you've heard, the Nookie's Diner, which was... you know, a longtime haunt of many late night adventures for, I'm sure, you, Anthony.
Oh, definitely
for me. No more nighttime really? Overnight hours. Yeah. So at Friday, Saturday, Sunday at 10 p.m., they're closed.
Wow.
Well, apparently they had recently a woman was robbed outside of the Nookies.
Oh, wow. What time?
Not quite sure of the time. It was pretty late. It was overnight.
Wow.
And there's been a lot of other theft and damage and vandalism inside. I kind of noticed that everything was blank. Like, there was nothing on the walls. There was no art. And that was unusual because I know that one wall used to have a really cool mural or something really cool on it.
Yeah, there was a really cool mural on that. Is that there no longer? Oh, wow.
It's blank walls. So.
Wow.
I went there recently. I had the apple French toast. It was an apple strudel French toast. It was so good.
I do like Nookies. Nookies has always been good. I meant to stop in there, but then I also did have to do the Melrose. So and the Melrose took precedence over Nookies.
Well, you know, the Melrose got me hooked on omelets made with cheddar cheese, apples, and bacon.
They kind of messed up my omelet, and I was a little pissed off about that.
Uh-oh.
Well, I just wanted a ham and cheese omelet. And they have a ham and cheese omelet, but it has caramelized onions in it. And I didn't want caramelized onions in my ham and cheese omelet. And I started eating it, and then so I wound up just picking around the onions because they kind of, like, folded the onions into the omelet so they weren't, like, all in with the egg mixture.
Yes.
So it was okay, but The other half, he had a waffle, and he absolutely enjoyed it. And the hash browns were good. I enjoyed the hash browns.
Of course.
Oh, and I also went to Belmont, across the street from the hotel, over there by the Red Line station.
Oh, you've been to the new... Okay, so that's the new iteration of whatever the old iteration...
I think it was Clark's.
Clark's, yes. Was that decent? Was it...
Yeah, it was good.
Fair, okay.
I had a good egg... I had an Eggs Benedict.
Okay.
It was delicious.
Did you end up going to Ann Sather's?
No.
Okay.
No, I did not make it to Ann Sather's.
Did you check out anything else on this trip? Notice how Punkin' Donuts is gone. It's a sad day.
It is. And I now call the one underneath the L station, that is the Dunkin' Donuts vending machine.
Yes.
Because all the pastries I got there were stale. They were disgustingly stale. Coffee wasn't made right. It was just a mess. It was an absolute mess.
The only Dunkin' Donuts that I've noticed with good quality is the one in the State of Illinois building, the Thompson Center.
We did go there, and you know what, though? I got a good iced coffee, but the husbands, they put way too much sugar in it. Way too much sugar.
Yeah, I have noticed that. But,
sometimes,
you know, that's...
You know,
if you're eating a donut, it's like, why not just add the extra sugar? What are you doing, cat?
What is the cat doing?
The cat is trying to get up on top of the table for some reason. Get out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, this cat is crazy. Her name is Jackie. She's trying to get in the show.
Well, you know, just let her say something. Put her up to the microphone. Maybe she'll say something. You know.
I think I've scared her enough. She doesn't know what's going on now. You want to come up here? You have something to say? You have a whole wide audience to say whatever it is you need to say. Because I'm sure there's other cats listening at the moment.
You never know. You never know.
Wow.
So yeah, so let's see. So I did the Belmont. I guess I will talk more about my vacation, even though I had you take it off the script. I'm trying to think what else. I tried out We tried out one of those new bars over there on Roscoe, the one at Roscoe and Halstead. What is it called?
The Progress Bar.
Eh. It was loud. So, it was loud. It was ridiculously loud. And the
did
sad
you play.
Did we do what?
Replay.
No, I did not go to Replay. Where's Replay?
Replay was the old box.
Yeah, we had considered going there, but you know where we went? This is when we met up with Dave. You know where we wound up going?
Where?
The Lucky Horseshoe.
Oh, good.
It was lovely. Actually, we had a good time. The dancers were only there right before we left because we got in there before the dancers even were on stage. So we had a few cocktails. It was good because it wasn't loud. You know, it wasn't packed. Even though Progress wasn't packed either, but it was really, really, really loud for three people in the bar. It was ridiculously loud. It's like, maybe you should turn this down. When you get more people in here, then turn it up, you know. But when you got three people, nobody's out there dancing. You got old guy over here drinking his beer at the bar, and then you got two other guys sitting in the window waiting for someone else. You don't need to blare the music. It's just not necessary.
Like, you can hear it just fine at one half the volume.
Exactly, exactly. But no, it was, so that was that. And then, yeah, the Lucky Horseshoe, that was fun. Yeah, and then we did Giordano's for pizza, which was not my first choice, but it was fine. It was okay. I was okay with it. And I had some of it as leftovers the following day. It was delicious.
Yes, yes. Always leftovers are delicious. We know this, of course.
Oh, most definitely.
Yes. Yeah, you know, eating in California for me was Joe's Crab Shack. I had a really delicious, I think it was like a shrimp nacho kind of dish. It was pretty good. I mean, you know, California is huge on their seafood. So go figure. And then we ate at this other place, and I think it was like the Velvet something or other restaurant.
Okay.
It was decent. I had a country fried steak. It was a small portion size, but it was good.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, sometimes country fried steak is just too much. Too much.
You know, the big thing in California, though, is at all the restaurants, you do not get glasses of water. They do not bring it to you.
I'm not surprised. They're running out of it.
Yeah, you have to ask for it. And the water did taste a lot different. It tasted good. It didn't taste horrible.
Okay.
But yeah, it's really interesting. It's the gardens there look kind of withered. You know, they're in some hard times right now. There's a lot of drought.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Noticeable everywhere.
Definitely.
But I saw like almond trees and olive trees and just like these rows of trees, and I'm like, well, that's where all your water's going.
No, I know. Well, and that's the thing. It's just like all these almonds, and so everyone's so crazy about this almond milk thing. And I'm like, that takes so much water. Almonds are the worst thing you can be eating right now. You know, I mean, it's horrible.
Some of these trees, they only last for a certain amount of growing seasons. So then you have to dig them out, put in new trees. That's, you know, it's a lot of resources.
Oh, I know, right? And it's just, and I guess the amount of water used in even processing the almonds for almond milk makes it even is even more, yes, more intense. It's just,
so folks, you know what? Just go with whole natural milk. Don't do skim milk. Don't do 2%. Just do whole milk. If you're gonna drink milk, just do whole milk.
No, I can't do whole milk. My triglycerides are high enough already.
Like, you do lactate milk.
Okay,
that's good. But also, one other quick thing is everywhere in California, they had signs up warning you that there's chemicals inside this facility that have been known to cause cancer.
Ooh.
And it's like, okay, if they do this in California, why don't they put these signs up everywhere else?
Because it's California.
Well, but if they know something that we don't know, per se...
Well, everything in California can cause cancer. That's the thing, though. Everything can cause cancer. That's why you have to read, like, this plaque of cancer-causing materials every building you go into in California. It's like you're entering a building that may have 6,542 million different types of carcinogens known to the state of California to cause cancer. Have a nice day.
Well, yes. I mean, they were all over the airport, so I was just like, oh, wonderful, you know.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
Oh, and today they just, the WHO came out and said that all processed meats and bacons and hot dogs and all that are carcinogens. Like,
I know. I saw that. That's such a shame. I knew I'm going to get the cancer.
I guess I should just go back to smoking cigarettes.
Not. Something like that. All right. So anyway, thanks everyone for tuning in tonight. We'll be back next Monday. Stay tuned for This Way Out. And remember, if you're a lady wearing one pump and one flat, consider yourself lucky.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. We will see you on Monday.
This station is being brought to you via Nullsoft Shoutcast streaming technology. For more information, visit shoutcast.com.